Here's a problem with the Wes Watson thing. I've known tons of guys that were in pins, and they would say, if you keep to yourself, honestly, in the end, you'd be all right. But Wes Watson,
they beat you, they rape you, you got to join a gang, you got to this, you got to, they'll extort you.
Well, how are you going to extort me? I have no money. Wes was getting out saying, no, I did this time here. I was in this pin, in this level 4 yard. He has all these insane stories.
It's a lie. You're not embellishing anymore.
Right.
You're lying.
Ultimately, these things come out. You and I did a video about Wes Watson,
yes.
Like 2 years ago. Yeah, the extreme Wes Watson. Yes. It was like 2 years ago, which is funny because it actually got, we did that and I didn't think when we did it, like, you know, it's like, hey, let's find something to talk about. And I'm like, listen, this guy's crazy.
Right.
You know, you got to watch this. And we watched it and you and I both like, you know, you've been you've been in penitentiaries.
Yes.
You know, federal penitentiaries, yes. And you know, you've been to the higher level. Like I've been to mediums, but I never met a guy, anybody like that guy. So, yeah. And you've actually been to the pens where he basically, you gotta do this. You gotta, you know, have your paperwork. You gotta have this, you gotta have that. You gotta, you know, it's so over the top. And, you know, when I played the clips that we played on that video, we're all Wes Watson at his most extreme.
Yes.
I mean, he does. And most of what I'm saying right now is just because after reading 2 years worth of comments, you know, people took that video and went nuts. You know, he's not always like that. And Wes has saved my life and Wes this, Wes that. And I'm always like, I have no doubt that he helps people. Like it takes different types of people. And we were joking about the whole video,
right.
But, and it was like, nobody can act like this in prison. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're not acting like that in prison.
No,
you know,
no.
His own people would be like,
walking around and acting like that, not openly.
Right. But we did that video. Boy, it's a ton of hate on that video, but it also got a lot of views and a lot of comments. So, and the one thing I was kept saying was like, just like, you know, it was like, there's not. Like it's an act. It's got to be an act. And everybody was like, it's not an act. But the problem is over the next 2 years, I got people that were like, hey, bro, like I need can I get your email? Or they were sending me emails and they were saying, listen, you know, that's like I was locked up with this dude. He wasn't anything like that. And we weren't in a pen.
Right.
Like, I don't know what pen he's talking. Maybe. And they would say stuff like maybe he was in a pen, but we were in a low or we were at a medium security and there was it was nothing like what he's talking about.
Right.
And, you know, I would have all kinds of guys saying stuff like that. And it's the same thing with Big Herc. I actually had a correctional officer contact me and say, listen, and he was saying that Big Herc was dry snitching on other inmates. Like, hey, there's going to be a fight between these two guys in the yard. And now some people, when the guy told me that, I said, well, one, send me the, you know, can you send me the proof of that? And the guy was like, look, I'll try and get the actual paperwork, because every time you talk to SIS, you know, they document
right,
it.
Right.
So I was like, can you send me that stuff? And we traded a couple emails and he said, look, let me try and get you the printouts and I'll send them to you. And, you know, he never could. So like, I never mentioned it, never brought it up. And not just that, you know, there are these guys, like there's a huge thing right now. And I know you haven't heard about this because I haven't really talked to you about it. I did a video like a week ago with this guy, Wade. And Wade has a channel called Crime and Entertainment. And Wade does a bunch of stuff. I'd say 80 to 90% of his content is on mobsters.
Right. Real mobsters, like old time mobsters or the today mobsters?
So more like old mobsters that are now doing YouTube. So it's here's the thing. In the 70s, 80s, 90s, when a reporter would ask a mobster about the mob or about the mafia, they would say, what are you talking about? There is no mafia. Like they would deny it to, you know, that's part of their code. Like you don't talk about this thing that we've got going. You don't ever. And so then Gotti kind of made it, you know,
cool,
exciting.
Like a statue. He put a statue in
right.
It, a social statue to it.
Right. And then when these guys kind of went to prison and got out and retired and said, look, I'm changing my life. And then they would start doing YouTube. And there's guys like Sammy the Bull has a huge channel. Michael Franzese has a huge channel. And so they'll bring on other mobsters and they have a huge channel. They have huge followings. Well, there's a guy that I was locked up with in Coleman in the low, and his name is Skinny Joey Marlino. And supposedly he ran the Philly mob. Now, you know, there's some people who question like whether he was ever officially, you know, made the leader of, but it's pretty much the consensus is he was. Well, he's now doing a channel where he's going on and he's saying, I'm exposing all these rats that are running YouTube channels. And he's got paperwork. He's showing FBI 302s where this guy cooperated, where that guy cooperated. But what's funny about that is like Marlino, who acts like a tough guy, is 130 pounds. And he's like 5'8". And two, and he's been in, listen, he's been shot. He's been in shootings. He's done some serious stuff. He beat, I think, two or three RICO cases, went to prison. You know, well, he took a plea. Now, this is another thing that mobsters don't do. They never take a plea. He took a plea, went to prison with me. Listen, I had lunch and dinner with him several times. Now, he had no idea I cooperated. He's sitting at a dinner table listening to me, and he's miserable. Everybody he knows is an idiot. Everybody's a scumbag. You know, whether they're a snitch or not, they're stupid or they're a scumbag or they're a piece of garbage. He's just one of those grumpy, grumpy guys that's so overwhelmingly negative. You know, and I guess I'd have a bad frame of mind too, because one time when he went to prison, went to trial, and I think he went to prison and went to trial and lost, went to like, I want to say it was, might have been federal prison, but when he gets back out, like, finds out that some guy was sleeping with his wife, you know, and that guy's still walking around, by the way. I think somebody got her pregnant. Oh, I think like there's a whole, it's horrible. But, you know, and then of course that gets around. Somebody killed his best friend. You know, apparently there was, I heard two different versions that one, there was retaliation, two, there wasn't. Like there's all these things, but now he's retired living in South Florida. And he just started a YouTube channel, which basically most of it, he talks about betting.
Right.
Because he was also, you know, he's a degenerate gambler. And so the whole snitching thing is becoming huge, right?
Right.
And his whole thing is like, literally guys are saying to him like, hey man, why don't you come on my channel? Like, if you come on my channel, it'll help you get subscribers. And he's like, he did a video like, I don't want none of you snitches asking me to come on your channel. You know, he's like, you're a snitch,
right?
Your dad, or you're a rat. Your dad was a rat. Your so-and-so was a rat. Like, it's just like, it's like, this guy is nuts. Anyway, here's the thing with the Big Herc thing. And here's why I didn't think the Big Herc thing was a big deal, because sometimes in prison, guys will say something to the police,
right?
Because they know there's going to be an issue, and that issue is going to be so detrimental to the current order
of what they've got.
They want that. Right. And they will kind of, you know, so does it seem like dry snitching? The cops might think, oh, he's dropping a note.
Right.
He's snitching on this guy. But the truth is typically they have a motive. So I was thinking, even if this guy gives me the paperwork, why would I do a video, when the truth is, I don't know what Big Herc's motivation was. And then I never got the paperwork. So maybe that wasn't even true. So I don't know. But the Marlino thing is it's like, these are things that are happening in like the prison genre, the mob tube genre,
right?
That are it's causing chaos, bro. Chaos. The guys are going nuts over it.
What, the video we just saw?
No, that's what I'm getting at.
Oh, you're talking about the mob guy doing all that talking. Oh, yeah.
Right. I'm only mentioning that because, so you have to think, a lot of these guys who are like, you know, I never snitched. Now he's coming out like, here's the paperwork. Or, you know, was I interviewed by the FBI? Yes, but I never cooperated. I mean, on my case, did I have to have a conversation about what I did to plead guilty or whatever? You know, yeah, I did, but I never cooperated. Now he's coming out with, nope. There's testimony, there's this, there's that, here's transcripts, here's 302s, and he's saying all kinds of stuff, which honestly, that's why, like, to me, when I came out, like, I cooperated. You have a problem with it? Go fuck yourself. Like, what are you going to do? Nothing. I'm going to call you a snitch. Great. You're going to call me a snitch in the fucking, in the comment section. So what? Like, if I have to put my cooperation 12 years off my sentence, but I have to put up with you calling me a rat in the comment section. I can't cooperate fast enough to get that 12 years off. In your opinion,
right?
If you think I'm willing to cooperate against other criminals, if you think that doesn't, if you think that I'm okay with that, do you think that your opinion means anything to me? Like, I sleep like a baby. But so with that said, the Wes Watson thing, right? So here's a problem with the Wes Watson thing. When I used to watch those videos, the stuff he was saying, like I've known tons of guys that were in pins and what it was like. And I remember I used to always say, like, yeah, bro, I can't go to a pin. And they would say, nah, you might get a little bit of shit, but if you keep to yourself, honestly, you'd probably, in the end, you'd be all right. They'd fuck with you a little bit, but in the end, you'd come up with a clique of guys, you'd be all right, you'd get a job, you'd be all right. It's not what you think. But Wes Watson, they beat you, they rape you, you got to join a gang, you got to this, you got to, they'll extort you. Well, how are you going to extort me? I have no money.
Right.
I have no money coming in. Oh, you got to put in work, you got to this. I'm not going to stab anybody. You don't want me stabbing anybody. That's not going to work out. No.
I've seen one of those. Anyway, one of the people aren't supposed to be in prison having to put in work episodes. I've seen that. And just kind of like, what was that?
How bad did that go?
Oh, I've seen, listen, on my channel, I need to do a podcast about people who put in work that's not supposed to put in work.
People putting in work that went bad.
Yeah, putting in work going bad. So, yeah, like Matt put in work. Like, okay, that was horrible.
I don't know.
I don't know what
we were thinking. I could insult him. Yeah. I use harsh language. So what happened was I've gotten people that have sent me emails or mentioned things in the comment section where they're like, bro, this guy's full of shit. This guy's, it's not true. He didn't behave anything like that in prison.
Right.
He, you know, wasn't a shot caller. He wasn't this, he wasn't that. And it was like, listen, that video is doing well. It's gotten some decent views for me, for my channel. Like, I'm not interested in doing another video. And other people have come out and had videos where they've said, look, he wasn't at this prison. I was there. He wasn't in this riot. The story he's telling is somebody else's story. The, you know, things like that. Still, I didn't pay attention to it. But this guy came out with a video a couple weeks ago.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And he's not just saying, like, Wes is exaggerating. What he's saying is this guy wasn't in really almost any he wasn't in any of the state prisons.
Wow.
That he said he was. Like, he's saying, I was in this level 4 yard in California state penitentiary system, this one for so many years and this one for so many years. And the truth is, this guy got his records and is like, that's not what happened. He was never there. Right. Yeah. You watched the video. I watched the video. Yeah. And I'll put the link to the video in the description box if anybody wants to watch it. But I mean, this guy, like, he has the screenshots. He's got the whole thing. And let me play this for a minute.
They can't question anything about where he was housed and what he has done. He has been the biggest fake, full of lies. And I think it's people deserve to know, especially those who've given him money over the years, supported to his seminars. You basically have supported an individual who's lied to you from day one. Therefore, how could you trust anything that this individual has to say? That's my personal opinion, and that's why I'm making this video. People have done stuff about exposing them, but there's been nothing to support anything in what people have said. It's all been hearsay and how they perceive what they've heard from him. But right now, I got the whole history of everywhere he's been since he's entered CDCR, California Department of Corrections Rehabilitation. And for one who's always talking about California gangs and California level fours and all this stuff, right? Here's the kicker. He's only been to one prison in California, and that was the California Department of Corrections Rehabilitation Reception Center in Donovan. He was only in Donovan Reception. These are 100% confirmed facts. Everything I'm about to show you, hey, it's going to expose a lot. Now, Wes Watson has basically done what you would call stolen valor, misrepresenting himself, his people, and everything that he's ever said on YouTube. There's those, right? Whether you're a Nathaniel, Sudaniel, Wood.
Well, he drags it out.
Right.
He drags it out a little bit to get as much. He gets like 15 minutes of watch time. I mean, it's not a bad video if you want, you know, if somebody wanted to watch it, it's about 15 minutes. He kind of, you know, goes through the whole thing and he explains that, you know, he did do like, I think 3 years in Arizona. I think he did like 18 months and I could have these numbers wrong, something like 18 months in California, but they weren't penitentiaries. They were all like lows and mediums, you know, not that a California low or a medium isn't a horrible place.
Yeah. A Texas medium was supposed to go rougher than Penn. So,
yeah, yeah. Oh, wait, Beaumont, Bloody Beaumont.
Yeah, it became Buddy Beaumont.
What?
Buddy, my buddy.
So anyway, I watched that video, and you know, here it's so funny because we did that video. When you and I did it, like we, you know, mocked him and everything. This guy's talking about how people have given him money. He's made a ton of money. He does these seminars. I didn't even tell you this. I had a guy contact me who said, listen, bro, I want you to do a video with Wes Watson for like, I forget how much. Yeah. But here's what he was going to do. Cause he'd already paid this. He said, like, if you paid like $200, Wes talks to you for like 30 minutes on the phone or something like that. And he actually paid the money to Wes and then got on like a Zoom call with him. He goes, I swear to God, he said, Wes called me a bitch about 15 times within the first 10 minutes.
What?
You need to stop bitching up, bro. Or you're bitching up, bro. Man, what are you acting like a bitch? What's wrong with you? You're a bitch. I mean, he's like, listen, he said it was the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. He said it was worth every single dime I paid. He said he hung up on me twice. He said I called back. He yelled at me again. He said, I got abused for like 10, 15 minutes. Finally, he hung up and didn't answer. He goes, and took my money.
Wow.
So he said, I would love it if you would. He goes, I'll pay for you to be on the phone with him. Or for you to do one and record it and put it up. He said, I'd pay. It would be hilarious. And I was like, listen, if he hung up on you, and this guy's like a salesman, a normal salesperson, never been to prison, said, if he was abusive to you, what's he going to be to me?
Super.
That's going to last all of 2 minutes.
Super abusive. But would that be worth the money to get cursed out like that? In some instances,
he was going to pay for it.
Yeah. Well, hey, that's free. That's a free video for 2 minutes because you can do it and then talk about it.
Yeah, it never happened. It was so funny. So many of these guys, they have ideas and they want to do it. And then, you know, we go back and forth and it's just never, it never materializes. But so you have a different take. Like to me, and I have no doubt that Wes got out of what I think probably happened was he probably went to prison. And just like he said, because I know you've never really probably watched any of his videos, but he talks about how all these things were happening, but he was reading like books on spirituality. He was reading books on motivation.
Did he not say that though?
What do you mean?
That he read books on spirituality and motivation?
Yeah, no, I said, I know you haven't seen those videos,
right. But
I've watched a couple of videos where he talks about how he kind of, his mind changed when he was in prison. And how he realized, like, he wanted to get out. He wanted to be a motivational speaker. Right. He wanted to help people. He wanted to, you know, of course, he wants to make a ton of money. You know, and he thought that he could do that and get out. And so he started reading all of these books. And then he got out. And, of course, he went on a whole media tour and a YouTube tour and built up a huge clientele base and started charging people. He charges people. I know a guy that works out at the gym where Wes works out. He said he comes in there with 5 or 10 people that he trains. He is and abuses the hell out of them the entire time.
Wow.
Yells at him, scream.
So here's my view, right?
Okay.
So he's created a persona because as you know, the Rock, Dwayne Johnson. Yeah. Right, is nothing like he was at WWF now. Right. Totally different person, a very thinking man who's probably in
it's his a character.
Huh?
The Rock was a character.
He was a character. So, and I could actually tell that he was playing a character. So it didn't boggle my mind that he was like, that what he was doing wasn't real.
Right.
You know, yeah. I don't know what he was shaped like before, but I took my hat off to him for being in Iron Man shape. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
At the time.
Yeah, he's probably. Huh? He's probably always in good shape.
Yeah, but yeah. You know what I'm saying? And using that to, you know, become a character to make money. And he might have come up with the whole concept while he was in jail. He might have used the jail time and then like talk to people who had been in pens that describe certain people. You know what I'm saying? He might have had a idea and concept. So this guy, I don't think he's exposing him. Of course, if he's lying about where he's been, I guess he's doing that to be part of the character. Because The Rock will tell you he's only ever been in a serious fight in his life one time.
Right.
You know, but he's been in hundreds of choreographed fights.
You know? Right. But I think the problem is that, you know, The Rock is calling himself The Rock. And he's it's obvious it's a character.
Right.
You know, I mean, Wes was getting out saying, no, I did this time here. I did this time here. I did this here. I was in this pen, in this level 4 yard. I, you know, all of these insane, he has all these insane stories. And he does it. And he's not just when he's yelling and screaming, when he's having a normal conversation, he's calm and he's coherent and he'll have this conversation like, I went here and this happened and that happened. And he explains all these different things that happened. And it's like, okay, well, those things didn't happen.
Right.
So you built your character. It's kind of like there was a guy named the Liver King who he was huge following, right? Had a massive following where he said all he ate was like raw meat, liver and different parts of the body. And listen, the guy was so jacked up. He looks like a bodybuilder.
Right.
And everybody was like, you know, bro, you're on steroids. He's like, absolutely not. This is all natural. And he had huge following and everything. And then it comes out that the guy, one of the doctors that he had approached about
getting steroids.
yeah. Went and just exposed him. Like, look, this is what the email says. This is what the guy said. This is all the stuff he was taking. This is this. And then he had to come out and say, yes, that's true. And it's like, I understand the idea of wanting to embellish your story.
Right.
But ultimately these things come out.
It's lies.
That's why
you're not embellishing anymore.
Right.
You're lying.
Right. And here's the thing though. Most people, I think, when it comes out, I think by that point, they're so ingrained in you and your character that you don't probably lose much other than some credibility, maybe for the future, but you probably keep the bulk of your base. I don't think it's going to hurt him. He doesn't really address it. He does a little bit here and there, but the thing is, what he's never done is said, hey, here's all my paperwork. Here's all the proof of this. Here's the proof. He doesn't do that because he's like, I'm not going to address that. Well, at some point, when everybody else is providing documentation and you're not, it's like, okay, well, then it's true. Then maybe you should address it and say, hey, this is what happened. This is the way I thought to go. You know, it was a stupid move.
Would you call it stupid if it's made him successful? I mean, it's built on a lie,
faked it till he made it. Yeah, but I always think of that when you're driving around in a Lamborghini and you're showing yourself living in a penthouse. But then what happens is they end up being extremely successful and they do end up in the penthouse and they do end up with a Lamborghini. So it never catches up to them.
Right.
This is caught up to you. And it's like, you're not that the guy's not a tough guy. Like I'm sure he's extremely disciplined. Just to look like that, you got to be disciplined. Even if it's all, even if it's steroid, even if you take steroids, you still got to work out and eat, right?
Amen.
So I just think that I saw the video and I thought, fuck, man, I knew it. I knew something was wrong.
Well, you knew he was lying, but you can tell.
I knew it was a character.
Yes, you can tell by what he's saying he's lying. You know, and that's what we had in our last video. Like, what? No way. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can tell by what he's saying he's lying. That's why I'm saying that video was kind of like, and, you know, I'm certain, like we said, there's no way he could have acted like that in a prison yard. There's no way he could have done that. And so,
but it's always nice to have your point of view verified.
Right. Well, validated. I mean, that feels good. And that's why I was kind of like, okay. No, duh. You know, so it feels good, you know, but no way did like that wasn't earth shattering or like even a revelation at all. It was something that watching him, I knew, I'm like, okay, this is all fake. This is all some character in place, but it's funny. It's that Samuel Jackson appeal that people love Samuel Jackson because he's so in your face, insulting, direct. That's one of the appeals you have, Matt. You know, like nobody knows what insult, what nugget of painful truth is going to slip out of your mouth.
Have you ever read the comments in the comment section of that video?
The one we did or his?
No, what we did.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, bro. It's hilarious. Yeah. They're hilarious. Yeah.
Well, people believe in that character. People buy into it. I mean, that's just the nature. Or people want to believe that that person is real, you know? So they don't know what they are looking for that. So they buy into it. You know, sometimes people are like, I want to hear the real side of it. And so they'll buy into what we're saying. People were giving us comments about like the fights that we're in. We're not talking about fight. We're like, okay, I was scared or I didn't know exactly what I was going to do. You know what I'm saying? Say no.
So funny. No, I'm just thinking how funny. That's actually another video that has done really well, that fight video. Prison fight, I think it's called.
So it's just the nature of the beast. It's what is appealing about us. When we were being fake or doing what we were doing and we were being fake and people love it, it's just it's what pulled people in. People want that type of character in their life. Like I tell you, I call it the Samuel Jackson appeal because people love the like, no white, no white MF. What do you think I mean? Like, oh, I love that.
It's so funny because people, whenever I talk about stuff and I'm like, look, you know, like this is what happened or this is the way it is. And that they get upset and they're like, well, some people get upset, you know, you're a piece of garbage. You're this. And like, yep, this is just what I'm saying. And then other people are like, bro, I'd have done the same thing.
You put a logical approach on something. You put a logical approach on something. You know, I have a friend right now that's in custody and facing Fed time and like, telling his lawyer, hey, I'm never, oh my, that lawyer just wants me to snitch. I'm not going to snitch. So I asked him, I go, what if you're facing life? He goes, well, if I'm facing life, I'm going to take him to trial. They're going to have to, you know, and I'm sitting there thinking to myself, it's going to take a little while to bring you around to, you ever thought about getting out? And his girl is saying, what are you talking about? Like, screw those other guys.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, this is you. Trying to convince him. So I'm trying to walk the middle in order to coax him over to the other side. And he talks all that tough man talk, but like 15 years from now, when there's no end, you're going to absolutely look back and go, what the hell was I thinking about? You know what I'm saying?
Well, especially when it's been 10 or 15 years and now no one answers your calls. No one sends you money. No one, like you've seen those guys that were locked up and like they never get mail. They never make a call. Nobody ever comes to see them. They have no prospect at all. Even if they get out, they're going to be 75 years old getting out with nothing and they're going to die in the gutter. And, you know, it's easy to be 26 years old on the street saying, well, shouldn't have done the time, couldn't do the time, shouldn't have done the time, you know, and saying all these cutesy fucking things. But the truth is, if you look back on it, it's like, what's really happening? What is really, you know, what is really my responsibility to these other people that the moment they get caught will turn on me?
Amen. And that's exactly what he was saying. He's saying, well, I have to hope this other guy is a stand-up guy. I'm like, yeah, you kind of do. You know what I'm saying? You know, but anyway, it's and he's giving me the tough man, like, I'm not like that. You know, and I'm going, whoa.
Yeah.
Insane, bro.
Yeah.
Insane. So it's and it that to me is an act. You know, that's kind of the West Walker act of I'm tough, I'm big bad, and you know, and all that gets crushed and demolished by authority, as we call it.
5 years life.
Yeah. And I'm gonna hold a loyalty to somebody that's already gonna get life somewhere else. And
oh yeah, what I love is the guys when their co-defendants show up 2 years later, and you know, they show up in the prison with them 2 years later. Yeah, man, I got busted on this and I got busted that. Then you find out like their co-defendant told on other people.
Yes.
And that's why he only got 5 years for, you know, two keys of coke or you know, whatever. And you're going like, you've got a criminal history off the chart. You've been in state prison twice. Now you're here for 5 years and you're saying they caught you with two keys and a gun. Like
I know. And, yes. I know.
I should have told on you.
I met a gentleman. I was helping him, as a matter of fact. A gentleman that got a life sentence and only had one prior. He was, and the person that was bringing in like 20, 30 keys from Mexico monthly or weekly, right? Who was the head, when the gentleman that got life told the prosecutor, like the prosecutor said, I'm going to give you a life sentence. He's like, okay, then do it. He goes to trial, and the person that was actually bringing in 20 keys of dope testified on him and only got 15 years. And I'm saying to myself, I'm reading this, and I'm saying, and I'm reading, this is in the paperwork. I'm reading this, and I'm saying to myself, like, this isn't justice. Under no circumstance would they give a guy they know wasn't bringing in. They gave him life based on the fact that he knew that the other guy was bringing in 20 keys. Like I'm hanging out with you, and I know that you're bringing in that much drugs. And yeah, I've done some of it because I got a habit, and I'm driving you around, or I'm doing whatever, and you're breaking me off pieces of drugs. But the fact that I know you're doing that, you're going to give me life, and the person that's actually doing it, you're going to give 15 years because they testified on me that I knew it. Mm-hmm. Whether it was, and he said it wasn't true. So it's that the justice system is not based on justice. I read that in the book. It's based on how do you help us feed this machine? Like, do you have something for us to feed in this machine? No. Then we're going to allow you to be eaten and shitted.
You know, it's funny in my case. And this might be slightly, you know, I'm StreamYarding it. Like the first time I got in trouble, my lawyer told me, you haven't been indicted yet. You know, the only person that's signed any documents or, you know, that they really have is your wife, which I was currently in the process of getting a divorce.
Right.
And I was like, he's like, so if you, you know, how amicable is this relationship? And I was like, no, I'm not going to do that. And he was like, okay. He said, well, the other option is this. He said, they know you're running a mill. Like you're running a basically like a phone room where you guys are churning and burning mortgages. Anybody that comes in gets a mortgage, you spit it out, you make the deal work, you do whatever. He's like, but he goes, if you would go into your office and go into the file cabinet, grab 10 or 20 of the most egregious files you've done that your mortgage brokers have done and bring them in here, talk to the FBI about them. They'll be indicted and I can get you what's called pretrial. It's like a pretrial intervention, right? Because I hadn't lost any money.
Right.
So he was like, I can get you so that you're not indicted. So you can walk and give them these guys. And I was like, no, I'm not going to do that. Okay, now that's what I said, because back then that's what I was brainwashed by TV like everybody else. I was like, no, I'm not going to do that. Like, I think I'm a fucking tough guy. I'm saying all this.
Why wouldn't you do that? Like, at the time, what were you thinking?
I didn't, My I said I'm going to do to them what so somebody wore a wire on me.
Yes.
To get me in trouble, right? Or to get the case started on me. So I was like, "Oh, I'm going to do the same thing to them that Gretchen and Pete did to me. I'm not going to do that."
Right.
Like I was like, "I'm not going to." And here's the other thing too. And this was what, you know, my lawyer's telling me you're probably going to do, you could get between, you know, 0 to 36 months. But the truth is, and he, because he kept saying that the FBI thinks you've lost, or you've done about $500,000 in fraud. But keep in mind, my wife's the one who took out the loans.
Right.
So he's like, really, I have very little on you. Like, you can, one, hand over these people. We can keep you and your wife from being indicted. And so I remember thinking, well, there isn't $500,000 in loss.
Right.
And he was like, oh, no, they said there is potential loss. And I said, no, there's not. Because the properties were all worth like $200,000. We borrowed $150,000. Another one was worth $230,000. We borrowed $160,000. Like the actual value of the property was higher than the loan. So there wasn't even potential loss. Plus, by the time they came around, I'd sold out of like four loans, I'd sold three of them. And within a month or two, we sold the other one. So these loans don't even exist anymore.
Oh, he was going paid off. That's what I'm saying at that time.
Yeah, because this wasn't a scam. I mean, it was a scam. It was fraud, but it wasn't a scam. We weren't trying to walk away with the money. We were just buying houses, renovating them, and then I would then sell them to my wife at the time.
Okay.
We were trying to get away around something called seasoning. But the point, that's not, you know, that's why I didn't want to get all into right, all that. It's complicated. The bottom line is, initially, I never cooperated, right? Like, I'm not going to cooperate. But here's what happened. I said, look, I'll plead guilty. They don't indict my wife. And he was like, okay. He's like, I said, so just explain that to him, that she didn't know what she was doing. You know, she didn't have any clue what she was signing. She signed anything I put in front of her, blah, blah, blah. So, okay, that's fine. So he goes to the FBI, and then the FBI finally comes back and they admit, you're right. There was the appraisals all we got from the lenders all say the houses were worth more than loans.
Right.
So there was no potential loss either. So they were like, okay, you're looking at 36 months of probation. Now, here's the funny thing. So then the next time they come to it, so I go and I run a huge scam. I run this huge scam. I borrow like $11.5 million in like 18 months. FBI shows up to arrest me while I'm federal probation,
right,
and I take off on the run. While I'm on the run, I find out that all of my former mortgage brokers are cooperating. All of them are saying, not only are they cooperating, but they're saying they didn't do anything. Like they're not saying, I'm just not going to talk to you. Which is what my ex-wife did. When they tried to talk to her, she said, I'm not talking to you. I don't have to talk to you. I'm not going to. And that was it. But these guys literally called, were making phone calls, were walking in with lawyers, were saying, look, I'm willing to tell you everything that Cox did. I mean, I didn't do anything. Like, I kind of knew what he was doing, but I wasn't a participant. But the truth is, you were a participant. Right. Like, so they're trying to get me hemmed up and get them out of it. I knew that was happening, and I had heard that was happening from people that I spoke with. And then when I ultimately got caught, I got my discovery, I saw all the 302s, everybody that had talked, and I thought all the people that I didn't roll over on immediately started rolling over on me. And that's really when it hit me. I was like, what are you doing? You need to cooperate. And my lawyer was telling me, you need to, like, if you're thinking not to cooperate, like, that's the dumbest thing you could do, because the same people that, first of all, they're going to hold you accountable for all this lost money. So these people that made millions of dollars, they're not going to be held accountable. I'm going to be held, and all of them will get on the stand and say, you did it. He did it. I didn't know anything. Even though they made millions, they'll walk away with their millions. I'll go to prison for 30 years and they won't give a shit. Nope.
And the judgment will be against you for the loss. All that will fall on your, yeah, right, for the money.
And, you know, that's really when it hit me. This whole not saying anything is absolutely stupid. Because the same people that I'm trying to protect, they aren't not saying anything. And they're going to put money on my books and come see me and be thankful and appreciative. No, they're actively helping the FBI throw dirt on my grave. those people don't deserve loyalty. And I realized that, you know what? Now I think about it, everybody's out for themselves except for me.
The words.
So you know what?
The words that they tell you at the beginning, like, hey, you might as well help yourself. They're going to be helping themselves.
Absolutely right. And I was like, yeah, I ain't doing that. I'm ready to cut every fucker's throat that I've ever met.
Right.
Just to get out of this. Cause I realize that's what's really happening. And periodically you'll get some guy that will stand up and say, I don't give a shit. I ain't like that. And he'll do life. And good for him. Good for him. 15 years later, though, you don't meet anybody where 10 or 15 minute years later, where nobody's talking to them. Nobody's answering their call. 95% of those guys are like, I should have said something.
Right.
I should have cooperated. I mean, you've heard this and everybody's heard this. There's only two kinds of people in federal prison, those that cooperated and those that wish they had.
Okay.
That's it. That's it. There's only two. So, I mean, unless you got, it's easy to man up if you got 5 years. You got 5 years, you took the drug program, you walked out in 3 years. And you're like, yeah, man, yeah, yeah. They were threatening to give me 25 years, but I held strong. You were never getting 25 years. You knew that. You knew that. It was never going to happen. Right. Unless you just walked in and said, okay, I'll take the 25. Don't think the prosecutor wouldn't give it to you. He might feel slightly bad and give you 20, which is still 15 more than you deserved.
Right.
But he wouldn't lose any sleep over it. I love that. I talked to this guy, Ian Bick, and he was like, oh, I forget what he was saying, but he was like, they were initially saying I was looking at like 40 years or something. It was like you owe less than $1 million. You're a clean cut, Jewish kid that lives in Connecticut that basically stole $1 million, has $1 million in loss. You're not facing but a few years. And he went to trial, lost. And still only got like 5 years.
Wow.
Like, so if you're saying, oh, I was facing 35 years or 40 years or whatever they were threatening him with, like you were never facing that to begin with. Cause you lost at trial and they still only gave you like five.
Right. Right.
But that's what they say to everybody. You're looking at 150 years. And then you go to your lawyer, lawyer's like, listen, that's what they always say. I mean, is it possible? I mean, yeah, it's possible. It's not going to happen. But you are looking at 30. Like 30 to me was like, oh, that's a death sentence. I felt like it was.
Anyway, to go through. So my scenario on that is like I felt like I was looking at 10. But, I was top dog, so I didn't have anyone to cooperate on. They just, what they wanted from me was for me to tell them how I did everything I did,
Right.
Because they're kind of like, what in the, like, where did you come up with all this stuff? We want to know where these ideas came from. You know what I'm saying?
Listen, whenever I talk about brilliant scams and brilliant people to these producers or people that I talk to, I always bring you up.
So
I was like, listen to this.
And then what was so funny is like in all the thinking, like now I feel like a complete idiot because of that. I let them fool me with their system. Like I gave them that information and they weren't supposed to use it against me. It really was a phase in my life where agreeing to give them that information basically gave me more time. So I like fed. Yeah. Oh yeah.
And they tell you, well, we won't use it.
And they used it. They used it to enhance my sentence.
Right. Next thing you know, they think you got two victims. Next thing you know, you tell them about 60 and now you're looking at over 50 victims.
That's exactly what happened. That's exactly. In fact, my judge said that, when he was upset, he goes, what these victims had to go through. And he goes, I mean, although there's only two,
she had to make three phone calls to the credit card company before they would remove those charges.
Yes.
Three calls. It was 20 minutes on hold
for two people. That's a 16-year bid. Definitely. You know what I'm saying?
Listen, I had a guy in the comment section. I'm going to tell you this because listen, the comment section, these guys are brilliant. The stuff they say, I'm like, this guy is sharp. This guy said, And he said, this is what Matt Cox said to his co-defendant. And then he put in quotes, he put, listen, bro, if we get caught, I'm telling on you. You need to bring somebody so you can tell on.
That's excellent.
I thought this guy's great.
It's rolling your way, so you need to be able to roll it away from you. But it's coming. You better. It's coming. You know.
Oh my God!
No way is it going to roll towards me. I'm going to make sure which direction the shit is coming. It's rolling towards you. I love that.
Oh,
I love
shit.
That. That's like almost my favorite line from the comedian that says, if you do something with somebody else and you're hiding, and then the cop grabs him and he goes, come on out, Matt. They got us.
Yeah.
They've got you. They don't have me. Yeah.
Reese used to tell that. He's like, listen, one time me and my buddy, we got pulled over and we both ran in the woods, but they caught me. And so, you know, no, they caught him. He said, they caught him and I got away and I was in the woods watching him. He said, and he walked up and down this tree line and said, come on out, Reese. They got us.
Yeah.
They got us. And,
you know what?
You know, but I've heard
he contacted me. I got to text him. That's who I want to definitely send a Christmas card to, Reese, to let him know. Cause I've been like, oh, I got to text him, but I got to have 20 minutes. Cause I want to listen to what he's saying. I don't want to just have him in my ear going. I want to be able to actually process it so I can get laughs at the time and later on. Like, I can't believe Reese said that crap. You know?
He's exactly the person he was in prison.
Miss
he hasn't changed
miss him.
One bit.
Miss him. Want to have political debates and everything. I miss him. Miss him. But listen, we've gotten away from Wes and like, I'm trying to get out.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, you want to wrap this up?
Yes, but we can definitely schedule. No, I gotta put some more out. Me and I'm gonna come on and like I've been writing down topics where I can, but I'm not gonna make anyway. Let's do this.
Well, I do want to do. I want to do because we had. I was gonna say hours, like more like, you know, 100 hours of conversation where we were talking about like how to pull off the perfect scam.
Yes.
What is the perfect? And I remember my version of the perfect scam, you were always like, oh, you're a bastard. to basically create the perfect scam and then put it on somebody. And you were like, I was like, yeah, bro. Like some guy who's been arrested 4 or 5 times for fraud. Like you make sure everything points to him.
Right.
He's like, you're like some guy who's working as a plumber's job. I'm like, that's not my fault. I'm sorry. I can't go to jail.
Oh man! Oh, but somebody that deserves it though. You gotta give somebody that absolutely is a dick. You know, you dealt with in jail, and they're an absolute jerk, and they deserve a little extra grief in their life. I met those.
Oh my God! I've met those. Like you're like I.
You're not out. You're out and doing good. Good for you, but I think you deserve a little more grief. How about this? Explain this because you probably would go to trial and you could win because they'd be like, maybe he didn't do it. You know what I'm saying? Well,
not in my scenario. In my scenario, he needs to take a plea.
You go to trial. You're like, hey, I'm getting somebody out on this. Hey, let me think right now.
But yeah, we need to do a whole video because I remember we would sit down and I was, you know, I had a whole thing where like you order the laptop that you're going to use to create all the documents, everything, you have a brand new laptop, you have it mailed to his address and you pick it up. You keep all the box and everything. You then create all the documents on it. You use it throughout the whole scam. You then package it back up and then you leave it on his doorstep or you call him and say that,
he won.
You know, you work for Apple and, you know, you're sending out free laptops and all these in about 30, he can use it. And then 30 days from now, someone will call and he'll have to answer, you know, 14 or 15 questions and it's free. And I'm not asking for anything from you. I'm just letting you know, we're going to mail it. Someone put your name in a whatever and then send it to him. When he gets a free laptop and he opens it up and he's got using it, keep in mind, he's got all the paperwork around. He's using it for his personal stuff. Plus, you're calling him on the cell phone, the same drop phone that you're using to run the whole scam. Like I had a whole thing, like yes. Boom, yes. Boom, boom.
I remember that. And then of course you're giving him.
I mean, by the time his house gets raided, he's so overwhelmingly done because there's so much evidence
that he's been.
You could even give him money. Think about it. You could even send a letter to him with part of the proceeds, saying that he was named in a class action lawsuit and he made this much money. So he'd take part of the proceeds and go deposit $12,000 into his bank account.
He's thinking he's having a bunch of fortunate events.
Yeah, like my life's great for the past 2 months. It's been amazing.
I've been getting every like. I don't know who's doing all this entering in the things, but I love it.
It's been a good 2 months. But yeah, that was the whole thing where I had all these different things that you could do that just tied the guy in so bad. Because here's the thing. And that whole thing was that, and we got to do a whole video because I could talk about it forever. It's so overwhelmingly devious. But what I thought was hilarious about it is that in the end, even if your name came up, the cops would be like, when they go to him, do you know this person? He's going to say, no. No. So you're sitting there going, I don't know the guy. The guy doesn't know me. All the evidence is pointing to him. You can't figure out how I tie in at all.
Right.
I'll go to trial because they'll be like, Jesus, like maybe they have me on camera somewhere. They'd have some minor piece that didn't make sense to them. And your address came up in a link or like, we feel like you're involved, but you know what? 99% of all the evidence points to this guy. We can't get you. We're just going to run with him. So yeah, I get it, man. I get it. Like, I don't know how why that was mailed to my old address. It's crazy.
I'm gone. All right. See you later.
That's how they are. Even if they thought maybe this guy doesn't have anything to do with it, they'll still go with it. But we have some evidence that can convict him. Let's give him 10 years.
I've met people in those scenarios.
Hey, this is Matt Cox. Do me a favor and hit the subscribe button. Hit the bell so you get notified of videos just like this. Check the description box. I got all kinds of good stuff in there. Please consider joining my Patreon. It's like $10 a month. Absolutely worth it. It really does help me.